So I thought maybe today we would change a little bit the format, no? And because we are between Gaur Purnima, which is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance day. No? Everyone knows Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Okay. And we are coming up to Ram Navami. No? So this particular verse of the Bhagavatam that I selected speaks about Lord Chaitanya and Lord Ram and Lord Krishna. This is the Shadbhuja verse. No? This is a very famous form of Lord Chaitanya manifested in Jagannath Puri. He also manifested in Navadvip, which has, it's a form of Krishna with six arms. Two arms of Krishna playing the flute, two arms of Lord Ramachandra holding bow and arrow, and two arms of Lord Chaitanya holding his sinyas staff and water pot. So this is the three most prominent forms of Sri Krishna. Krishna, Ramachandra, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this particular verse speaks of all three of those incarnations in one verse. In different ways. It's a little long, the purport, but I think it's a very interesting verse for this time of the year. Bhagavatam provides something for every day. Actually, the spiritual master Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he went to Sri Radhakund, which is the most elevated place in the whole planet, in the whole universe. And so there were many Babajis. They were expecting him to speak on very high subjects of Radha and Krishna. But he could see that they weren't very, strict in their habits. So he's practically the whole time, 3 months, he spoke on the first verse of Bhagavatam and another famous verse of the Bhagavatam, the Vaipumsa Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Dhoksaji. Otherwise, how to become fully surrendered to Krishna. Just like one time, Srila Prabhupada, he was, sometimes he would speak to professors. So this one particular professor, Prabhupada, was speaking to him. Now he said, please explain to me the esoteric pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And Prabhupada said, who are you? And he said, well, I'm Professor so-and-so. And Prabhupada said, no, who are you? And he said, I'm Professor so-and-so. And Prabhupada said again, who are you? And so he didn't know what to say. So Prabhupada said, so how can we speak about Radha and Krishna if you do not know who you are? You are actually spirit soul, jivatma, servant of Krishna. So until you understand you're a servant of Krishna, then how can we talk? He said, but I wanted to speak about Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada said, we are not interested in Radha and Krishna. We must first understand who you are. If you don't understand who you are, how will you understand where you came from? So, sometimes we want to speak about something very elevated, but we don't have the basic understanding. Because another thing that Srila Prabhupada said, that in Kali Yuga, the characteristic of Kali Yuga is that the divine becomes mundane and the mundane becomes divine. Otherwise, people take Radha and Krishna with the most elevated concept in spiritual life. Understanding the love between Radha and Krishna has nothing to do with the relationships that we have in this world. Those relationships are derived in a very, very removed, remote way from Radha and Krishna. Otherwise, the relationship husband, wife, man and woman, etc. But it has nothing to do with. We cannot understand the love between Radha and Krishna by understanding the relationship between two mundane people. But that's the tendency. So therefore, we bring the divine down to the mundane, and our mundane relationships, though, we make them very divine. So, therefore, let me just go a little farther, and then we'll entertain questions. So, This is the whole purpose of spiritual life, is to begin, just like anything. In school, you don't start out with a university and then go to something else. You start out with elementary, secondary, primary, secondary, in this country, high school, college, university. So in the same way, in spiritual life, we should begin with the basic understanding, which is who am I? It's like one of the greatest devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Sanatana Goswami. When he approached the Lord, he left everything. These Sikh Goswamis, they left all of their aristocratic ties and learning and abilities and just surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, leaving everything else behind as insignificant. So they came, and Sanatana Goswami said, "My dear Lord, I'm a very expert in Sanskrit and Urdu and Arabic, and everyone says I'm a very intelligent person, but I don't know who I am. So until I understand that, then what is my claim to anything?" So you want to ask them?
That's your question. How do you answer that question? Who I am?
Who I am? Jiva Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das. That I am eternal Jiva soul, no? And the eternal servant of Krishna. That is our identity. Or as Krishna says, Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. No? That the living entity is a part and particle, a spark of my spiritual energy. Sanatana, but eternally. Not that we were part of Krishna, that we're the same as Krishna, and then we become separated, and then we become Krishna again. Krishna is always Krishna, and we are always Jivatma. So he says, Jiva Loke Sanatana. But the Jiva is eternally a Jiva, and Krishna is eternally Krishna. So that is our identity. And how do you say? Then you say part and particle of God. No, spiritual portion of God. Spiritual particle of God. If they don't know who God is, then you have to go to some very basic understanding. No. Then you can, just like Bhagavad Gita begins in a very simple way. It says that just like this body, no, and this also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the body, If you analyze, you say, "Oh, okay, I have this body. Who am I? Am I the hand? Am I the knee? Am I the foot?" No, you'll say no. So who am I? No, I'm actually residing within the body. And when the body, just like when somebody dies, we say, "Oh, he's gone. So where did he go to?" No, but he's right there. He's laying right there. So where is he gone? Oh, the soul is gone. So the soul is spiritual. So if somebody doesn't know about Krishna or God, then they can understand there's something. Even scientists nowadays, you know, nuclear scientists, physicists, they will admit that there's something, there's consciousness. And that consciousness is something totally separate from matter. They're not necessarily willing to admit the existence of God, but they admit the existence of something beyond matter. And then, of course, we have a whole science about that. And some of them, if they're a little pious, they'll try to understand, and others won't. So anyway, I chose this verse. This is the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th chapter, text number 34. This is a very wonderful part to read. This is a continuation of one very famous verse, now verse number 32, which describes Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was actually described here in the Bhagavatam that Krishna Varna Tvisha Krishnam Sangam Pangasta Parshadam Jagyaya Sankirtana Prayaya Yajanti Hi Sumeditsaha. That this particular form of the Lord, He's not blackish. He's golden colored. No. And he's also always occupied in Krishna Varnam, always speaking these letters, Krishna. No. And Sangam Pangastra Parshadam. And his weapon, his astra this time, are his own associates. Otherwise, usually Krishna comes with his famous Sudarshan disc, no, and club, no, if he's in Vishnu form. But this time the weapon is different. The weapon is his own associates. Because the objective is to purify the soul from within the heart. The Lord doesn't come to kill demons, but comes to kill the demoniac tendency within the heart of the living entities. So because of that, he's coming in this particular special form. His weapons are his own devotees who go out and spread the holy name of Krishna. So we'll read the text. And so then that was the beginning text. And then there's another text which explains who Lord Chaitanya is. And this one explains Lord Chaitanya Krishna and Lord Ramachandra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chatva Sudus Tustyaja Surepshita Raja Lakshmin Tamishta Arya Vachasa Yadagadaryan Aranyam Mayamigam Daita Yapsitam Anbadhavad Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. Translation and purport. O Mahapurusha, I worship your lotus feet. You gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence, which is most difficult to renounce and is hankered after by even the greatest demigods. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, you thus left for the forest in obedience to a Brahmin's curse. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls who were always in pursuit of false enjoyment of illusion and at the same time engaged in searching out your own desired object, Lord Shamsunda. So the purport. According to the Vaishnava Acharyas, this important verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is understood to describe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, and also Lord Ramachandra. This verse appears within the discussion between the sage Karabhajana of the Yuga avatars, or the different incarnations of the personalities of Godhead, who deliver the conditioned souls in each age. The prayers ending with the words Vande Mahapurushate Te Charanaravindam are understood to glorify the incarnation of Lord Krishna in Kali Yuga, known as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived for 24 years in Navadvip as a householder and enjoyed immense popularity among both scholars and ordinary persons. His Sankirtan movement was completely supported by the local government, even though it was Muslim. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the pleasure of marrying the goddess of fortune, no ordinary woman of the material world, no matter how gorgeous she may be, can in any way compare with the beautiful goddess of fortune. Everyone in this universe, including Lord Brahma, is searching after the goddess of fortune. Therefore, it is stated here, Surapsita. However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna appearing as a Brahmin, and therefore he is certainly Dharmishta, or most religious. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always Dharmishta. Whether he appears as a cowherd boy, or a great king, or a Brahmin, because the Lord himself is the original source and personification of all religious principles. However, In the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are very few political or economic activities. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as a great philosopher Brahmana, and thus he is certainly Dharmishta. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the 17th chapter of Adi Lila, it is described that a certain Brahmana, who was well known for being harsh and cursing others, could not enter the kirtan hall where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing kirtan, because the door was locked. Being very agitated and breaking his Brahmana's thread, he cursed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the next day on the bank of the Ganga, saying, "I shall now curse you, for your behavior has greatly aggrieved me. You shall be bereft of all material happiness." However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt great jubilation within himself, since his mission was Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga, to give up the illusion of material sense gratification and staunchly engage 24 hours a day in the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this curse to be a blessing, and soon after the Lord took sannyas. Thus it is stated in this verse by the words of the Aryan, the Brahmana, Aryabhachasa, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas Yadagad Aranyam, going to the forest, and when traveling through different forests of India on the way to Vrindavan and later to southern India. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to especially preserve the prestige of the Brahmana class, and therefore he decided to keep the Brahmana's curse intact. So this particular pastime of the Lord, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, actually even before he appeared, which we celebrated last Sunday, he brought the holy name of Krishna. Of course, the holy name of Krishna is always there. This Maha Mantra is always there. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to make the chanting of the holy name prominent. Actually, when Mahaprabhu was a young man, he took the role of Nimai Pandit. And as Nimai Pandit, he was the greatest scholar. He was such a great scholar that he would ask his teacher, Gangadas Pandit. He said, "Give me an argument." He said, "Give him some argument." And then he would defeat that argument. And he would say, "Ask anyone else, can you defeat this argument?" No one could do it. Even Gangadas couldn't do it. So he would defeat that argument. And then he would say, "Can anybody defeat this argument?" And nobody could do it. And then he would take the original argument and defeat the last one. But what he wanted to show was what it says in the Mahabharata, that Tarko Pratishta Shutayo Bibinam, that no one by Tarka, by logic, no one can come to the real understanding. And Shutayo Bibinam, by different scriptural understandings, no one can come to agreement. Everybody has a different Christian, Muslim, Hindu, and within each one there's so many different branches. You go to every church you see around here will be a different denomination, different understanding. So, it also says that Nashavishya Yasya Banam Nabinam, that all the rishis have a different opinion. Every rishi has a different philosophical approach. Always like there's a little ego there, a little ahankar. So they're trying to defeat one another. And then, So if you really want to understand the essence of religion, Mahajanayana Katha Sapanta, you have to go to the Mahajan, one who is perfect in one's spiritual understanding, perfect in understanding and perfect in practice. And that person can actually teach you the real path of religion. So that is the Acharya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this role of Nimai Pandit, just to show that by logic, by intellectual pursuit, one cannot understand the Supreme. And then he went on the pretext of his father's pinda. He went to Gaya. And there he met his spiritual master, Sri Ishwara Puri, who initiated him in the chanting of the holy name. But actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even before he was born, he brought the holy name. He was born during an eclipse. And during that eclipse, you know, as everyone knows in India, here everybody thinks an eclipse is very nice. Everybody goes out and watches it, you know, with some lens or something. But in India, they know the eclipse is not very auspicious. And everybody goes to a holy river. So everyone went to the Ganga and they chanted the holy name of Krishna. Even some people who had never chanted the holy name began to chant unconsciously by Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya smiled within. He was very happy. Now I can come in the midst of the holy name. Every time when he was a baby, every time he began to cry, he would never stop crying unless everybody started chanting the name Hari Hari. Then he would stop crying. And one time he was crying. Sometimes he would cry and say, he would see the birds and he would say, I want the bird. And he would start crying because he couldn't get the bird or the star or the moon or the sun or the stars. But then people would chant, Hari, Hari, Krishna, Krishna, and he would stop. But one time he didn't stop. Nobody could stop him. What's wrong? What do you want? He said that, oh, there's two brahmanas, Jagadish and Hiranya. This was on Ekadashi. And he said, so they're preparing a very nice Kadashi feast for the Lord, although they're fasting. So if you bring me that, I will be cured. So he actually revealed at that point that he was the Supreme Person. Because he was defining it was Ekadashi. He was saying that the Brahmins are fasting, but I want to eat grains. Well, he's saying, I'm Krishna. But nobody understood. They thought he was just a little boy. He's being empowered by Lord Govinda, but he's just a little boy. So they brought him the offering and everybody was very happy. Even Jagadish and Hiranya said, he must be empowered by Govinda. Because how could he know it was Ekadashi? He's only 5 years old. No. It was actually not even five, about 4.5. And how can he know these things? How can he understand that we were making this wonderful offering? But they couldn't figure it out. So, point is that Lord Chaitanya was very special. So he brought the holy name. But at this point, because even the Lord himself, just as Krishna took Sandipani Muni as his guru, no. And Lord Ramachandra took Vishishta and Vishwakarma as Vishamrita as his gurus. No. So Lord Chaitanya, he also took a guru. Gangadas Pandit was his guru for education, but Ishwarapuri was his guru for chanting the holy name. So when he came back from Gaya, then he was chanting wildly, teaching everyone to chant. And then at one point, after he took sannyas, he came in the presence of all these Mayavadi, impersonalist sannyasis. They didn't understand Krishna. So they began to ask him, you know, first they were criticizing him. He was chanting and dancing, and they were very serious, studying Vedanta. He said, why is he acting so sentimentally? So they invited him, and finally he came. And he sat amongst them, and all of a sudden, this effulgence came out of his whole body. They said, Ah, Narayan, Narayan. You know, he made it. He's achieved it. You know, this is what we all want. We want to become Narayan. But actually, he's always Narayan. Just like Srila Prabhupada used to say that foolish people, they will think that Narayan has become dog or pig. No. Here is pig Narayan, here is goat Narayan. No. So Narayan has decided, let me play in the mud. No. And he doesn't have enough to do in Vaikuntha, so let me play in the mud. No. As a pig. Let me eat some garbage as a goat. No. So, as if God doesn't have enough to do. Only if we don't understand Vaikuntha, then we can think such a thing. So these Mayavadis, they were thinking, yes. So he wanted to show them. So they said, we can see that you are very advanced, but why do you chant sentimentally? Why don't you study Vedanta? He said, oh, that's very easy. My spiritual master told me, I was a great fool. That you're a fool. Now, you cannot understand Vedanta. Otherwise, he was not telling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was telling all of us that understanding Vedanta in this age is something very, very difficult. Not so easy to do. So therefore, one should chant the holy name. And if one becomes purified enough, then one can understand the real purport of Vedanta. So then he said, actually, you were all thinking that I'm sentimental. I was also thinking that. No. That I began to chant this name of Krishna in ecstasy. And all of a sudden I was crying and dancing and chanting wildly. And I didn't know what was happening. I thought my knowledge had become covered. So I went to my spiritual master and I said, this is what's happening. And he began to laugh. He said, yes, this is the effect of chanting the holy name, that spiritual ecstasy will begin to manifest in one's heart. Actually, the Bhagavatam says that if you chant the holy name very seriously and ecstasy doesn't come, it means that something's wrong. So when we chant this Maha Mantra, if we're not feeling great happiness, spiritual happiness, then we should understand that I have to learn. I have to learn the process better. I have to understand how to do this properly. If I'm not feeling ecstasy, it means that I'm not paying attention. Because you must feel ecstasy. And if you don't, then you have to work at it until you feel that ecstasy. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, sukam kartum abhyayam, that this transcendental knowledge is full of happiness, susukam. Not just sukam, but susukam. Very intense happiness must be there. Nowadays, unfortunately, there's so many material distractions, especially in this country. Of course, now everybody's got them. Electronics are very nice technological wizardry to take our attention away from the reality of life. We have these little apparatuses here. Of course, they can be used in Krishna service. That's their perfection. But sometimes we get carried away. So therefore, we don't feel the ecstasy of chanting the holy name because our mind... You can only feel the ecstasy of chanting Hare Krishna if your mind is there with Krishna. Krishna is his holy name. Vinatvam nama namino. There's no difference between Krishna and his name. Therefore, if Krishna walked off the altar right now, what would we do? We'd say, oh, excuse me, I have to go watch television. No, we'd immediately bow down. No. So Krishna is accompanying us in his holy name. We should pay attention, and be there with him. Experience the presence of the Supreme Personality of God. This is the purpose of chanting. So Lord Chaitanya, he said his spiritual master told him that actually when you chant this holy name properly, then there will be trembling in your body, perspiration, tears will flow from your eyes. No, you will actually, your complexion will change. There will be so many spiritual transformations. This will eventually come. So he said, the fact that this is happening means that you have actually perfected the chanting of the holy name. I'm so happy. And then he quoted from the Srimad Bhagavatam, a verse that's actually very nearby this verse. No, that, well, it's actually a little before. This morning we spoke about Vrata, Dvadashi Vrata, or taking vow. So he said, evam vrata swa priya nama kirtya. When one takes the vow of chanting the holy name and dancing in ecstasy, then jatanurago chittadrupya uchchai. That immediately one will feel this anuraga, this immediate attraction. You know, and one's heart will melt. And gayantyato rodati rauti gayantyun madhavan riyati lokabhaya. And one will begin to laugh loudly, chant, sing, cry, and not caring for what anybody else thinks. Sometimes socially we become very concerned that what will people think? No. What will they say? What will they think? But when one is absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in the actual purpose and goal of life, then one doesn't care. Of course, we have to be a little conscious and create a good image among others. But internally, when we're feeling the bliss of Krishna consciousness, the actual purpose of human life, then it doesn't matter what other people think. Because a devotee of the Lord is satisfied by anything. And whatever comes of its own accord, as Krishna recommends in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Whatever comes. If wealth comes, I'll accept it. If poverty comes, I'll accept it. whatever comes. I may strive for a certain thing, and I may achieve it. But I understand that's not the goal of life. That is simply my destiny. But destiny is a very tricky thing. Sometimes on the plea of destiny, we do things that we shouldn't do. Think, oh, it's my destiny. So destiny is the ultimate result of our efforts. But our goal should always be serving the Supreme Lord. So anyway, that's Lord Chaitanya. And so after he began to chant the holy name in great ecstasy, he began his Sankirtan movement. He began to prepare to give this holy name to the whole world, to the whole universe. So he did that in the house of Shivas Thakur. He had these ecstatic kirtans, but only with his very intimate devotees. He would close the doors. And because the doors were closed, many people gathered outside, and they were all disappointed. So the very pious, the impious people, the atheists, they would say, just see, who knows what they're doing in there? Maybe they're drinking wine. Maybe they're, who knows what they're doing? And the very proud people like this Brahmin, why am I not in there? I'm a Brahmin, I'm this, I'm that. One other Brahmin, he was a brahmachari, said, I just drink milk and I meditate all day. Why am I not being allowed to come? So they were complaining. And the pious people were thinking, because these other people are creating a disturbance, we're not allowed to come in. No. But nobody was allowed. So this particular Brahmin, he became very angry because he was so proud, thinking, I'm the best of the Brahmins. I'm so more qualified. I know more mantras than anybody else. I know I have more knowledge than anybody else. So I should be in there. So Lord Chaitanya wouldn't let him in. He requested repeatedly. And so he took his Brahmin thread, he broke it. He said then, I curse you, you will never be able to enjoy material happiness. And Lord Chaitanya said, thank you very much. This is what I always want. Actually, on another occasion, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda were chanting, passing by the house of one sannyasi, but this wasn't exactly a standard sannyasi because he had a female companion. So, of course, that was a little suspicious to begin with. And then he came out, they stopped and they were saying, why don't we meet this saintly person? And so finally he came out and they said, so, my dear sir, can you give us a blessing? I said, yes. I bless you with long life, wealth, happiness, and a good wife. And Lord Chaitanya said, that doesn't sound like a blessing from a sannyasi. No. I thought that you would give me love of God. No. These are the things we want to avoid. This is not included in the ultimate goal of life. And the sannyasi said, just see. Kali Yuga is certainly here. I have traveled all over the world and this impudent Brahmin boy is telling me what to do. So anyway. Lord Chaitanya thought that the real blessing in life was to get Krishna praying. Love for Krishna. So that's how this particular thing happened. So Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained the word Maya Mrigam as follows. Maya means one's so-called wife, children, and bank account, which keep one firmly bound up in the material bodily concept of life. The word Mrigam indicates mrigati, or to search out. Thus, Maya Mrigam indicates the conditioned living entity who is always frantically searching for the latest up-to-the-minute sense gratification in the material bodily concept of life, society, friendship, and love. Anyadavat indicates that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always visibly going here and there, running, searching after the fallen conditioned souls. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes embrace the conditioned souls on the pretext of religious friendship or ecstasy. But actually, the Lord was touching the bodies of the conditioned souls to pull them out of the ocean of material existence and hurl them into the ocean of ecstatic love of Godhead. Thus, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful and munificent incarnation of the Lord, whose mercy surpassed the bounds of mundane discrimination in the matter of caste, color, and creed. When Lord Chaitanya had taken sannyas, and he was on his way to Jagannath Puri, just on the bank. Actually, before coming to Jagannath Puri, he was traveling and he met one washerman. He told the washerman, he said, "I want to give you something." So the washerman goes, no, I don't have time now. No, I don't have any time." He's thinking, the sannyasi wants to give me some mantra and then I have to give him some donation. didn't want to. He said, no, I'm very busy. No, but I want to give you something. No, you please take it. I want to give you something. "No, thank you very much, sir. I don't have time right now. I'm very busy." No, I want to give you something. "It will only take very short. I just want to give you something." No. And he said, "So finally, I'll just entertain him. I'll just, sometimes when somebody's bothering you, you just say, okay, so get him out of the way." So he said, "Only thing I want you to do is just say Hari Bol." He's thinking, "What's he going to do if I say that?" He's going, "No." He said, what will I have to do?" "No, nothing. No, you just say it. No, you just say Hari Bol." No. And so he said, "Okay, Hari Bol." And then the Lord touched him, and he started going Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, and he started dancing with his arms in the air, and he just started jumping and dancing and dancing. And he was so ecstatic with love of God by being touched by Lord Chaitanya that he became totally oblivious, totally couldn't even see anybody around him. And then his wife came to bring him lunch. And he's just dancing around, chanting. She goes up. He didn't even recognize her. No, she said, "Take your lunch, take your lunch." And he's just chanting and dancing. So she's thinking, "Oh my God, he's gone mad. Some ghost has gone into him." Thinking like that. So she goes to a friend, "Do something, So he grabbed his hands, tried to contain him. And then when he touched him, he started saying, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol." No. But he was a little more kind. He could see everything going on around him. So everyone was saying, "He's mad, he's mad." And the other one said, "No, he's not mad. This is actually, this chanting is causing great pleasure and ecstasy. I'm feeling it." And so he touched another man, and he started chanting. And then finally everybody started chanting, even the wife started chanting. So this is how Lord Chaitanya's mercy spread, as it says here. He would just touch people, he would embrace people. Even his sannyas guru, Keshava Bharati. When Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, of course no one can initiate the Supreme Lord. He actually initiated Ishvara Puri. And he also, when Keshava Bharati, he was saying, "I don't know how I can give you sannyas. You're so qualified." And the Lord Chaitanya, when he said that, he said, "Actually, last night I had a dream. And in that dream, some mantra was revealed to me. So I want you to hear this mantra and tell me if it's bona fide." It was actually supposed to be the sannyas mantra. So he went up to Keshava Bharati in his ear and he told him the sannyas mantra. So he actually initiated it first. Then he said, "So is that the right mantra?" "Yeah, that's it." And then he gave it back. So formally, Keshava Bharati initiated him, but not informally. Then by hearing that mantra from Lord Chaitanya, he was purified. And then after he took sannyas, Lord Chaitanya came up and embraced him. And Keshava Bharati began to dance in ecstasy. He was going around in circles so fast that his clothes flew off, and he didn't even realize it. It was just dancing in ecstasy. So this is the power of Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. The word dayitaya can be expressed as follows. The Sanskrit word daya means mercy. Thus, by grammatical derivation, the word used in this verse, dayitaya, indicates that because of being the most merciful, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was busily engaged in rescuing the fallen conditioned souls who are completely distracted and bewildered by the external illusory energy of the Lord. The quality of being the most merciful is part and parcel of the character of the Mahapurusha, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No. According to Jiva Goswami, this verse also describes the incarnation of Lord Krishna himself in his original blackish form. So otherwise, that That part, now we've summed up the discussion of Lord Chaitanya. This is how the verse describes Lord Chaitanya. Now he explains, Jiva Goswami, one of our greatest acharyas, explains how this verse pertains to Krishna. Thus the words Surapsita Raja Lakshmi indicate Sri Mathura Sampati, or the opulence of Mathura. Mathura is described in the Vedic literature as the reservoir of all opulence because of the touch of the Lord's lotus feet in that precinct. But Krishna, although taking birth in the opulent city of Mathura, transferred himself to the forest village of Vrindavan. No. So it says here, Yadagad Aranyam, that he goes to the forest. No. And the word Arya Vachasa indicate the order of Lord Krishna's original parents, Vasudeva and Devaki. No. Both Vasudeva and Devaki expressed their fear at the threat of Kamsa. Now, even though Krishna had appeared before Vasudeva and Devaki with his crown, you know, four hands, you know, this is not an ordinary way a child appears. You know. Generally, they come out covered by blood, and you know. But he came out. He didn't even come out. He just appeared. He was transferred directly from the womb of Devaki, and he appeared. And he was, you know, this is Lord Vishnu was actually. He took the form of Vishnu with his weapons, but still. Devaki, out of motherly love and affection, she was thinking, quickly hide yourself, because Kamsa could come any minute. She's thinking, and you're pretty obvious, no? You're glowing with transcendental effulgence, and you know you have four arms, so it'll be pretty obvious that you're Vishnu. And so he took the form of a little baby, and still, then Vasudeva was very concerned. If he sees a little baby, just like all the other babies, he'll kill them. This Kamsa is so cruel. So then Vasudeva received the revelation that he should take Krishna to his good friend Nanda Maharaj. So he took the baby. He was thinking, how will I get out of this prison? And all of a sudden, the doors open. The guards were all asleep, and he walked out. And he crossed the Yamuna. It was a huge storm. But the Yamuna just opened, and he walked across. And then he arrived there. And so it says that this is the Arya Vachasa, the order, the desire of the Arya, the Aryans, or the greatest Vasudeva and Devaki, the most pious parents. In the context of the words Mayamrigam, indicate the special exalted relationship between Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna. Maya also indicates Yogamaya, the internal potency of Krishna. No. The original form of Krishna's internal potency is Radharani. Due to the inconceivable love of Srimati Radharani, Lord Krishna becomes easily controlled by her. Thus, mrigam, or animal, in this case indicates kridha mrigam, or a toy animal. Just as a beautiful young girl may play with so many dolls or stuffed animals, similarly, Lord Krishna becomes just like a doll in the hands of the most beautiful young girl, Srimati Radharani. According to Sri Jiva Goswami, Srimati Radharani performed innumerable types of worship in order to bind Krishna more and more to her, because Srimati Radharani cannot live without Krishna. Thus, due to Radharani's aradhana, or worship, Krishna can never leave Vrindavan. He runs here and there in Vrindavan, protecting the cows, playing with his friends, and engaging in countless intrigues of love with Srimati Radharani and the gopis. And thus the word anvadhava indicates Krishna's boyish activities running throughout the transcendental land of Vrindavan, tightly under the control of the love of Srimati Radharani. So here we get a glimpse of the original love. This love is devoid of any mundane characteristic. The real nature of love, or the nature of real love, is that there is no desire of exploitation. However, the love in this world is always, there's some, at least some small vestige of desire to control the other person, to exploit the other, to get something from the other person. Even in the most pious family or the best relationships, there's always the desire that the husband wants the wife to serve them, the wife wants the husband to serve them. Some degree. Although there may be, they may be wanting to serve the other person, but there's also a desire to be, I'll serve so that I will be served. But Srimati Radharani, when she serves Krishna, there's no desire to be served. She only wants Krishna to be pleased. No. Actually, when the gopis, when Krishna one time, he became feverish, and they brought a doctor, and doctor couldn't do anything, couldn't bring down the fever. They brought another doctor. They tried all kinds of cures and putting cold water. He couldn't be cured. No. So they said, what is the cure? So Krishna said, the only thing that will cure me is the dust from the lotus feet of my devotees. That's the only thing that will cure me. So first, the Narad Muni, he took charge of getting that dust. So first, he went to the Brahmins, Brahmin devotees, and he said, so I need the dust from your lotus feet to cure Krishna. He said, no. If we give the dust from our feet on Krishna's head, then we'll go to hell. No, I'm sorry, that's go to hell. And so he went to the queens of Dwarka and he said, please give us the dust from your feet. And they said, oh no, we cannot do that because Krishna is the supreme pure. And we would be glad to give the dust, but that would not be good for Krishna. So they also were reluctant. Then he went to the gopis and said, so can I have this? Because that's the only thing that would cure Krishna. Immediately, yes, please take it. And he said, aren't you afraid that you'll go to hell? That's all right. Let us go to hell. That's okay. But let Krishna be cured. So this was pure love. So this is the type of love that Srimati Radharani. There's no personal consideration. And so this is what's being expressed here. The loving relationship between Radha and Krishna. And Krishna feels the same way to Srimati Radharani. Therefore, it's described here, Maya Mrigam. Krishna, in the Bhagavatam, in another place, in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, it says, Yat prayasho jita jitopya si taistri lokyam. That although the Lord cannot be conquered within the three worlds, he can be easily conquered by the love of his devotee. This is Krishna. So then we see the third understanding. Srila Sridhar Swami has explained how this verse also describes the incarnation of Lord Ramachandra. Although the Lord is completely independent and detached from everything, he becomes attached to his pure devotees due to their love for him. In the great capital of Ayodhya, all the citizens loved Ramachandra more than can be described. In this context, Aryavachasa means that by the order of his father, who is just like his guru, Ramachandra gave up everything and went to the forest. There he exhibited great affection for Mother Sita and chased after Maya Mrigam, or the illusory deer that had been created by the trick of Ravana. This golden deer was especially desired by Srimati Sita Devi, as indicated by the words Daita Yipsitam. All the limbs of the Lord's transcendental body are non-different and interchangeable. Oh. Here's quoted the Rama Samhita that the Lord can perform in different types of transcendental bodies, different pastimes. There is no factual difference in spiritual quality between the incarnations of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, and Lord Ramachandra. As stated in the Vedic literatures, Advaita-machyutta-manadamananta-rupam. Therefore, there is no contradiction in the opinions of the acharyas. So therefore, just goes on a little bit farther. So this is the beautiful. This is a very beautiful verse because it explains how the Lord can be seen in different ways. Actually, many times Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are compared to, they are Krishna and Balaram, but they're also compared to Lakshman and Ramchandra. And when Lord Nityananda was a young boy, he used to play. And when he was very young, he was only 4 or 5 years old, he would gather all of his friends, and he would imitate or enact the pastimes of Krishna. And on one particular occasion, he became so absorbed in the pastime of Ramachandra, he designated one boy as Ramachandra. Because Nityananda is Balaram, or in the Leela of Ramachandra, he is Lakshman. So he became so absorbed in the pastime of Lakshman that he was struck by the arrow of Indrajit, and he became unconscious. And he wasn't even breathing, apparently. And his friends were all concerned. What are we going to do? We thought this was just a play. No. But he was so absorbed in that mood of Lakshman that he actually became totally unconscious. And so they called the parents. And the parents were, can imagine the parents of the Lord, how attached they are to him, and he's laying there unconscious, not breathing. They said, what are we going to do? And then one boy said, I remember now, he told us that if he becomes unconscious, then someone has to play the Hanuman, who's playing the part, he has to go and bring back the herbs from the hill, and bring back the whole hill. So the one boy playing the part of Hanuman, he went, and he was detained by one Muni, who said, oh, please come and stay in my hermitage. It was actually a demon. And then he was detained by another one who tried to fight with him. And then he was detained by a crocodile. And then he was detained by the Gandharvas. And then finally he reached the hill, and he picked up a little hill and brought back some herbs and put them under the nose of Nityananda. Nityananda woke up. So he was so absorbed in these pastimes. There's a very strong connection. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, he met one Brahmin. And this Brahmin, he met Lord Chaitanya, and after some time he would come every day to see Lord Chaitanya. And after some time, he began chanting the name of Krishna. And when Lord Chaitanya came back, he saw him, he was chanting the name of Krishna. And he said, but you've been dedicated to Ramachandra all your life. All that you do day and night is chant the name of Ram. And now you're chanting the name of Krishna. So why are you doing this? I can't understand. So the man said, yes, it's true. I gave my life to chanting, but when you came, I could understand that you are the same supreme personality of Godhead. And because you're chanting the name of Krishna, I also began to chant the name of Krishna. And then I realized from the scriptures, from the Puranas, that it is stated that actually 1,000 names of the names of Lord Vishnu is equal to one name of Ram. And 3,000 names of Lord Vishnu is equal to one name of Krishna. Therefore, by saying this name Krishna, I am now chanting all the holy names within the name of Krishna. Therefore, I'm just chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And he said, actually, in the Shastras, it explains that Krish means all attractive, the most attractive, beautiful. And Na means Ananda. So when you say the word Krishna, it means that the transcendental, spiritual, supreme, Ananda, spiritual bliss, will become most attractive, the most important thing in my life. And so Lord Chaitanya said, but you can chant this Maha Mantra. Within this Maha Mantra is Krishna and Rama. So you will be completely happy. So he just began to chant the Maha Mantra day and night, completely absorbed. And he became very happy, invited Lord Chaitanya, and he stayed there for many days discussing the topics of Krishna. And then further down in South India, Lord Chaitanya met another Brahmin. And this Brahmin invited Lord Chaitanya to his house for for lunch. It was very customary that the Brahmins would invite the sannyasi to the house. And so Lord Chaitanya accepted because he was a very great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. And so he arrived at the house. There was no meal. No, nothing was prepared. So he goes and he saw the Brahmin sitting on outside on a tree trunk, just sitting like this. And he goes, "What's wrong? Why haven't you cooked? You invited me, you know." And he said, "Yes, I know, but how can I cook? No. If Lord Ram and Lakshman are out, you know, here in the forest, it's not so easy to gather roots and vegetables. It's not so easy to cook here in the forest. And so what can I do? And also, the worst thing is that this demon Ravana has stolen away Mother Sita. What can I possibly do? How can I cook? How can I think of anything when Sita has been stolen away?" And Lord Chaitanya said, no, you should understand. Sita Devi is the internal potency of the Lord. She is the goddess of fortune. The goddess of fortune can never be touched by any materialist. No. They may search after the goddess of fortune, but they can never achieve. No. They can only achieve Maya, Durga, her expansion. So you should understand that Sita was never touched by Ravana. Actually, she expanded herself into a material form. And that material form was taken by Ravana. And even that form was not really touched by Ravana. What to speak of the original form of Sita? No. And Sita was actually hidden away by Agnidev. And so when he heard this, he became very happy and went very quickly and cooked. Prepared something later. And then Lord Chaitanya went to South India. And when he came to the temple of Adi Keshava, he found a Purana, the Kurma Purana. He was reading in the Kurma Purana. And in the Kurma Purana, it describes that actually when Sita Devi, when Ravana was approaching, Agni manifested. And Sita went into the fire of Agni. And she stayed with Agni. And out of the fire came the Maya Sita. And when Sita was brought back, this Maya Sita actually was there with Ravana. When she was brought back, she entered into the fire because this was a test. You know, as she maintained her chastity, she was required, Sita was required to go into the fire. But actually she went into the fire and the real Sita came out of the fire. So when the Brahmana heard that, he was very happy. And Lord Chaitanya stayed there for many days and took prasadam, and they discussed the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. So actually, Lord Chaitanya was very connected with Lord Ramachandra. One of his greatest devotees, Murari Gupta, is actually an incarnation of Hanuman. Because whenever the Lord appears, all of his devotees appear with him in different forms. So actually, Murari Gupta was Hanuman. And Murari Gupta felt very bad because he understood Lord Chaitanya and he felt the ecstasy of chanting and everything. But, you know, some of the other devotees were saying, "You should give up Ramachandra and just surrender to Lord Chaitanya." But he couldn't do it. And one day he came to Lord Chaitanya and he was expressing this. No, he's expressing, "I just can't do this." And so the Lord walked up to him and embraced him. And when he looked, it was Ramachandra. He said, "There's no difference between me and Ramachandra. You should always worship me in this form of Ramachandra. This is your worshipable deity." So a devotee is always happy worshipping the form of the Lord and always complete. You know, worshipping that form of the Lord which is most pleasing to him. This is because the Lord, as it says here in this Bhagavatam, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam. He is Anantarupam. He has a form for everyone. Of course, we can't invent some form. No. But all these different unlimited forms of the Lord are there to give us the pleasure of spiritual life, of devotional life. They're all offering us the opportunity to relate to Him in a different way. But in this age, especially for those of us that don't have a relationship very developed with the Lord, that we can... Krishna is offering himself in the form of Lord Chaitanya and the form of Radha and Krishna so that we can worship him Because these particular forms of Krishna, just like we see, Ramachandra has a lot of pastime, but Krishna has more pastime. Krishna has more manifestations. Krishna has more leelas. So just like we see in the elevation, in the evolution of species of life, as the species evolve more and more, we see that the personality becomes more manifest. There's more personality. The higher the species, the more there is presence of personality and different aspects of personality. So also in the highest manifestation of the Supreme Lord, there is the highest manifestation of personality. So in Lord Krishna, we find the personality so highly evolved that he performs pastimes that even Lord Ramachandra would never perform. Just like Ramachandra had one wife, and Krishna had 16,108. No. And that's just here. No. That's just, you know, on this planet. Otherwise, he has unlimited wives. He has unlimited girlfriends. He has limited friends. He has unlimited everything. No. To the highest degree. So this is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is coming to reveal himself to all of us. He's come to reveal himself, and especially to reveal Radha and Krishna. So this is our great fortune, and we can take advantage of that by chanting the holy name. Chant the holy name of Krishna. The more we do it, the more Lord Chaitanya will be pleased, and the more he will manifest in our lives. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh yes, now I was just going to say, if anybody has a question.
How do you explain the relationship between the Lord Krishna and Rukmini and Krishna and Radha?
Well, they're different moods. You know? For each desire of the Lord, there exists a devotee to manifest that desire. So in Rukmini, who is the head of the Queens of Dwarka, no, the Queens of Dwarka is explained in our Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Queens of Dwarka are actually manifestations, are expansions of the gopis of Vrindavan. Otherwise, the primeval Lord, Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami, the primeval Lord is Krishna. And the primeval goddess is Radharani. So from Srimati Radharani expands the gopis. And from the gopis expand the queens of Dwarka. And Srimati Radharani, one of her first expansions as gopis is Champakalata and also Chandravali. So Chandravali is a very reserved gopi, and Radharani is a very flamboyant gopi. So Rukmini Devi is like an expansion of Chandravali, very docile, obedient, submissive. And Satyabhama in Dwarka is more an expansion of Srimati Radharani. She has more the mood of Radharani. A little rebellious, always a little demanding. So these are the two. This is called the Vamana gopis or the Vamana queens. They're a little more demanding on Krishna. And then there's the right-wing queens. They're more docile, the followers of Rukmini. But in general, the queens of Dwarka have a mood of submission as wives, where the gopis have a mood of lovers. Of course, whether you're a lover of Krishna or your wife of Krishna or your friend of Krishna, everyone is subservient to Krishna. But that subservience is expressed in a different way to please Krishna. Sometimes Krishna likes his consort to be submissive as a wife. Sometimes he likes his consort to be demanding, like a girlfriend. So therefore, because of that desire, then different shaktis manifest in different ways.
Fall in love with Krishna, and marry in love with Krishna. Our purpose of life is to serve
Mm-hmm. You can, but that's not recommended. No. What we do, you know, renunciation, we were talking about that this morning, actually, in temple, that renunciation means to give up the idea that it belongs to me. No. Otherwise, we have a house, just like here's a nice house, and one can think this is my house. No. Or one can think this is Krishna's house. So if we think this is Krishna's property, then everything we do within this house is for Krishna's pleasure. So we may have the official title. You know, we may do the hard work to pay for it, and you know, over maybe you can pay for it one time, maybe you pay for it over 10 years, 20 years, whatever. So we do all the hard work. So that's our service. But it only becomes service when we realize that it belongs to Krishna. So it's either self-serving or Krishna-serving. So the challenge in Krishna consciousness, just like the Ten Commandments, the one commandment in Krishna consciousness is that everything should be done for Krishna's pleasure. So we do everything. We work, we run our household affairs in such a way that it's pleasing to Krishna. Just like we have our four principles. No meat-eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. These are the principles we follow. And there are so many other principles in Krishna, more than 10 commandments, much more. But the most important thing is to love Krishna. Actually, in the Vishnu Purana, it says that... I can't remember the text, but anyway, it says that there are two very important things. One is to always remember Krishna. Shmartavyo satatam Vishnu, bishmartavyo na jatu chit. Two very important things. One should always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And everything else is subservient to these two things. So for a Vaishnava, for a devotee of Krishna, the most important thing is just to love Krishna. And love, just like if you love someone, what is the natural response? We serve them. Just like a mother loves her child. So the mother is always serving the child. The mother doesn't get angry. A child starts crying, say, well, no, wait a minute, I'm off duty now. No. You just cry all you want, you know, but my hours are 9 to 5. And, you know, so I'm sorry, it's 7 o'clock at night, you have to wait till 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and I'll give you some milk. No, we don't think like that. So how much more should we not think like that about Krishna? We should always be beckoning to Krishna's call, whatever he wants from us. So how do we know what Krishna wants? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Guru, the Vaishnavas. They tell us, they inform us, what does Krishna want? And then we can conduct our lives by loving Krishna in our homes, in our family, by hearing from Krishna. Every day if we hear a little bit from Bhagavad Gita, we know what Krishna wants. And even the Christians or other people, they don't have that intimate contact with the Lord. They follow some commandments. Otherwise, if your life is dictated by commandments, it means that I don't really want to do this, but this is an imposition. A commandment means an imposition. It's not born out of love. It means I want to do something else, but the Lord says I have to do this. So we have a greater fortune if we take advantage of it.
Another question is, we always say that God is within me. And now we are saying we are Jivatma, we are not God, inside us or soul. I'm confused.
No, not inside us is the soul, we are the soul. Outside of the soul is the body. And alongside the soul is the Paramatma. So the Paramatma is Krishna. So Krishna is accompanying us. That just like in the Upanishads, it says that this body is just like a tree. And on the tree, there are two birds. One bird is self-satisfied. And the other bird is trying to eat the fruits of the tree. You know? And the first bird, this Paramatma, is Krishna, is saying, don't eat those fruits, they're sour fruits. I can give you the greatest pleasure. But we're trying to eat the fruits of this body. Trying to enjoy our senses, trying to enjoy our mind, and we're ignoring Krishna. But he's right there. So yes, Krishna is within our heart, meaning the heart in this body, Krishna is also situated there. And Krishna is always with us in the form of Paramatma. And when we actually become Krishna conscious or fully developed spiritual consciousness, then Krishna takes the form of Krishna himself rather than Paramatma. And he guides us personally. Beginning from in Bhagavad Gita, beginning just by inspiring us in the form of the Guru, the devotees of the Lord, and just inspiration, the desire to serve him. When we chant his holy name and we try to be obedient to him, then he inspires us more and more.